By way of invitation, tonight I'd like to read a portion out of John, Gospel according to John. We'll be in chapter 20. Usually when I'm working on a lesson, there's many other tangents that I study that, eventually you would probably talk about. But I thought I'd take opportunity to talk a little bit about something that I was thinking about in the study in preparation of this morning's lesson on the road to Emmaus. And how Jesus told those two disciples that they were being foolish. He told them that they were slow to believe the prophets. In John 20, we have another person slow to believe, very slow to believe, in my opinion. His name was Thomas. We often call him Doubting Thomas. And I don't know why we call him Doubting Thomas, because I personally feel I could be much better to say Doubting Didymus, because two D's, and it's easier to remember, I think. But I guess we've said it for so long, it's easy to remember Doubting Thomas, too. But I prefer Doubting Didymus. All right. He was Didymus. He was the twin. And he was an apostle. He wasn't just a disciple. He was an apostle. And you notice that we've moved further from the road to Emmaus, and Jesus has now appeared to the apostles, all of them, except for Thomas. And now it's been some time, but in verse 24 of John 20, it says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.'" 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, nowadays, it's the popular idea. I've heard this all over the place, that Thomas is kind of a hero. he's... I've heard individuals talk for preachers as if Thomas is to be commended. They say that he is he's a healthy critic of sorts of what had transpired in the previous days and the things that the apostles had seen, and so people have. Recently, it seems, really made Thomas out to be someone who is, really quite outstanding in this particular situation, because, he wasn't just going to believe hearsay or anything like that, but he was holding out for a true examination, and they say he's to be commended for that. And they talk of him, as I said, as if he's some hero of faith. All right? No, I don't believe so. I don't believe he is to be commended by his words or his actions here by any stretch of the imagination. And part of the reason why I believe that is what we saw this morning on the road to Emmaus. Now, those weren't apostles like Thomas was. Those were just two disciples. And that was the very day that Jesus had arose. You know, Peter hadn't seen him yet. You know, all the other apostles hadn't seen him yet. But quite a few of them had seen the empty tomb that morning. But that's it. Only the empty tomb. And what did Jesus say to those two disciples on that road? But you're being foolish. You don't believe. You're being foolish. And what does he pin them down for? Not by the eyewitness accounts, but as I said this morning, he pins them down for the fact that they were not believing the prophets, the word of God. Well, the same applies to Thomas then, does it not? If it applied to those two disciples who Jesus said, you're being fools. You're not believing the prophets. You're not believing the word of God. Then the same would apply also to Thomas, if not more so, being an apostle of Jesus Christ. By this time, everyone else has seen him. And that, you know, that's the thing. It's not like the two men on the road to Emmaus. It's been a long time now. And all the other apostles, they have actually seen him and had been with him for a time. And except just this Thomas. But Thomas' point is I will not believe. He says, he's got to do two things. He says, I need to be able to see it. I need to be able to see the nail holes in the hands. And then he goes even further and says, but that's not going to be good enough for me. I also want to touch. I want to be able to place my finger through the hole. Now again, you know, how is this commendable is my question. He says, if that doesn't happen, I'll never believe. Well, here's the thing. Not only did he have the word of the apostles saying that he arose, we saw him. He also had the words of the prophets, and that's what Jesus indicted his disciples on the road to Emmaus. You're not believing the words of Moses and the prophets. Put it all together, and we look at what we have today. What do we have? We have the words of Moses and the prophets, and we have the words of the apostles, right? That's what Thomas had, isn't it? He had the words of Moses and the prophets, and he had the word of the apostles. We're in the same boat as Thomas, even still to this day. And Thomas says, I'm not going to believe it. Well, he's lucky. He's lucky to have seen the Lord. The Lord didn't have to show himself to Thomas. He is very lucky to have seen the Lord. But when the Lord allows him, he calls him, in fact, he says, Thomas, come here, look here and touch the holes, feel my side. Then Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He believes. But Jesus' response is, have you believed because you've seen me? You know, this is not how it's supposed to work. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they believed before they saw Jesus. When this unknown person that was actually Jesus was talking to them, remember they reported, they said, oh, our hearts burned within us. They believed the scriptures. They were convicted of the scriptures that Jesus was alive even though they hadn't seen him yet. Thomas, you know, Jesus said, Thomas, have you believed because you've seen me? This isn't the way it goes. And then Jesus presents a blessing which just doesn't belong to Thomas. A blessing that Thomas will never enjoy. A blessing that we can enjoy to this very day. when he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The writer of Hebrews said in chapter 11, this great chapter of faith, notice you have all these individuals. None of them had seen the Lord. Some of them had such close relationships to God, you know, like Abraham had. But that chapter is all about Abraham's faith. In that chapter, I believe it's verse 6, he says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Think about that. Think about that in reference to Thomas. You know, it was this pleasing? You know, I don't mean to beat up on this man, because I'm sure he went on to do great things for the Lord. But at this moment, we're focusing on him. And at this moment, this is not pleasing. Because God himself has said in the record of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He says, for whoever would want to come to God, and the ESV, I like the way it words it, whoever would draw near, whoever would draw near to God and have a close relationship with their Lord, the writer of Hebrews says, they must first believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Thomas is not an example for us. We don't have an excuse on the day of judgment to say, "Lord, my faith was little," or "my faith was none," you know, because I didn't get to see you like some of the other guys, you know, in the first century got to see you. We don't have that excuse. As I said, Thomas is very lucky, because if what he said was true, he said, "I'm not going to believe unless I see and unless I touch." But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe. And that is the position that each one of us are in today. That is the opportunity that has been given to us. God is not going to appear to us on this earth. He has given us the resources. Moses, the prophets, the apostles. He has given us the resources by which we can obtain faith and conviction to know Him, and to know who He is, to know that He came, even though we didn't see it. He's given us all these things. And so, if there's anyone here this evening who has yet to come to the Lord, if you have faith in Him, you believe what He's done for you and for all the world, you've yet to take part in so great a salvation, then won't you come forward and repent of your sins, confess Jesus as your Lord, be baptized for the remission of your sin. If that's your need, please come forward while together we stand and sing.